This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day for issues over freedom of speech, freedom of expression. Whether or not people should be allowed, even when they are in positions of very great influence and power, to go ahead and defy some of the political correctness on one side more than another. Steve Bannon, former campaign manager for President Trump, briefly. He was not actually formal campaign manager, but you may remember he saved his campaign when he brought on Steve Bannon, and he brought on a new team to replace Paul Manafort, who, of course, went to jail, who later was pardoned. Steve Bannon never went to jail, but he did get convictions and was pardoned by President Trump. He is now facing charges of contempt of Congress, and he was just indicted on that charge. And he came out of a courtroom defiant with his attorneys to indicate that, no, he had no intention of answering questions about what he and the president were doing immediately before and then during the riot against the Capitol building, which took place on January 6th. Here is the comments of Steve Bannon, clip 18.
You see these signs right here and the guys over here saying insurrection and all that? That's what this country's about. It's freedom of speech. It's they got their opinions. We have our opinions. Okay? Hang on. They have their opinions. I'm telling you right now, this is going to be the misdemeanor from hell for Merrick Garland, Nancy Pelosi, and Joe Biden. Joe Biden ordered Merrick Garland to prosecute me from the White House lawn when he got off Marine One. And we're going to go on the offense. We're tired of playing defense. We're going to go on the offense on this and stand by. By the way, you should understand Nancy Pelosi is taking on Donald Trump and Steve Bannon. She ought to ask Hillary Clinton how that turned out for them, okay? We're going on the offense.
Nancy Pelosi, we're going on the offense. I'm not sure what that means, but one can imagine. Look, it seems to me that the one thing that people are looking at now is the odds are so overwhelmingly in favor of Republicans because some of the reapportionment, some of the redistricting that has taken place, takes place every 10 years, and it has to take place now. They've finished about 15 of the states with their redistricting, and the New York Times is reporting that that guarantees the Republicans at least 5 extra seats. And there are very few states where the Democrats control the redistricting process, the reapportionment process, where they're going to make up for those 5 extra seats. And 5 extra seats is exactly what the Republicans need to take over the House, even if they didn't have this wave of public opinion behind them. And it seems to me that they do. What concerns me is the one thing that could louse this up for Republicans, and people ask that. And again, I think there's consensus on this. Certainly there's consensus about this from Mitch McConnell, and though he won't talk about it, according to most reports, also from Kevin McCarthy. And what we're talking about that could louse things up for Republicans is bringing attention all the way back to the argument about whether the last election was legit, whether the last election was stolen, whether it was taken away. That's probably what he means when he says we're going to go on offensive. But right now, a lot of the people who have taken the hardest line on that idea of the stop the steal mantra, the notion of that there were secret bamboo ballots or 40,000 ballots that turned up here or Dallas that turned up there. I know there are many of you and who believe that, but there can't be anyone, really, who thinks that's going to be an effective issue. And this is one of those things where you hear from one Republican after another, particularly those who are going to be on the ballot, which is that Republicans have every chance to win, and to win substantially. I mean, maybe the kind of blowout election where they win 30, 40 seats in the House or more. They won 63 seats in the House in the Tea Party election of 2010. 63 seats. They need to win five. And that could be loused up by basically shifting attention from inflation and supply-side problems and supply chain problems and these education issues, the issues about which we're coming up in Thanksgiving about, which have to do with how we teach our children and our grandchildren how to understand America. And knocking down some of not just critical race theory, but the sort of political correctness that sees America as a horribly compromised, malignant, malevolent, corrupt country that isn't really deserving of the love that most Americans still feel. That those issues have every chance of success. Issues over who won the election of 2020, they have no chance of success. The election happened. There are millions of Americans now who regret the election happened the way it did, but at least recognize that it's there. And the idea that Steve Bannon now wants to go on the offensive over issues about what is it that he believes national security requires that he not answer questions regarding what he was doing on January 5th. A large part of this, what they want from Bannon, is he was participating in apparently a large meeting where they were planning for how they could stop the certification of the election. And is it so embarrassing? Is it so politically damaging? Is it potentially criminal? Well, if that's the case, you've got a Fifth Amendment to prevent you from answering questions. But it seems to me that there's going to be very little public defense on the idea that, well, we have no idea what the president was doing, what his plans were, what he really thought would happen by urging people to march up to the Capitol. The fact that Steve Bannon, who was close to him during that, even though he wasn't working for the White House and he was not a White House aide, he was an informal advisor, that he won't answer those questions is not, it seems to me, a highly tenable position. Another untenable position. A Connecticut judge has found InfoWars owner and conspiracy theorist Alex Jones guilty in a defamation case brought by families of the victims of the Sandy Hook massacre. Now, for those of you who have never heard Alex Jones going off on the Sandy Hook massacre, you don't understand how serious this really is. Because he is suggesting that the children who died that day, 20 children, 26 people dead, including their teachers, that it was all a hoax and staged by crisis actors, that's the term he used, in order to drum up opposition to the Second Amendment. Now, part of what is so ridiculous about this is it failed utterly. If this was somehow this master plan that was all executed by these crisis actors who were being manipulated by evil big government forces, in any event, he has caused great pain to parents who have buried their children. There is no indication of any kind that any of these people are alive or hidden or secretive. The Connecticut ruling follows a similar decision from a Texas judge in September, which found Jones responsible in two lawsuits for damages resulting from his claims about the shooting. The families have argued Jones has profited off his lies about the shooting when Bridgeport Superior Court Judge Barbara Bellis sanctioned Jones in the Connecticut case. She called his on-air statements about the shooting indefensible, unconscionable, and possibly criminal behavior. He's not done yet. They still have to go to juries to find out how much he's going to pay. We'll get to that and more on the MedVet Show. Washington Policy Center, WPC, is Washington State's champion for free market reforms and is nationally renowned for its effectiveness in an ideologically hostile state. It's led the effort against state and local income taxes. Its research and policy analysis are relied on by lawmakers, media, and citizen activists for accuracy, fresh perspective, and to expose the political manipulation of data. Our state needs WPC more than ever, and we need you to be part of it. Become a member today at WashingtonPolicy.org. Is our country's distinctive power and prosperity the product of some happy accidents or criminal activity, or is it God's hand on America? That's the title, actually, of my most recent book. You can get a hardcover copy, personally signed by me, together with a full audiobook, and it comes to you together with an MP3 player so you can hear it anytime you want. It's all at a reduced price while supplies last. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for God's Hand on America, look for that audiobook and hardcover book bundle.
Introducing the all-new My Slippers from MyPillow. 2 years in development. Designed to wear indoor, outdoor, all day long. Made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. And made with quality leather suede. For a limited time, you can get 50% off the new My Slippers. They're super comfortable, and you'll like them so much you'll want to get pairs of them for the entire family. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener's square and use promo code MEDVED. That's promo code MEDVED, M-E-D-V-E-D. You'll also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, like the Giza Dream bed sheets, the mattress topper, and towel sets. Call right now 1-800-320-6280. That's 1-800-320-6280 and use promo code MEDVED. Or go to the web at MyPillow.com. The all-new My Slippers from MyPillow.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Folks, looks like food shortages are here and gonna stick around. Supply chains are breaking down, and inflation is back with a vengeance. It's all part of the shortage economy. What used to be unthinkable is now in the headlines. Are you ready? Do you currently have a stockpile of emergency food at home? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com today, and you'll find an emergency food kit that's right for you and your family. My Patriot Supply is the largest preparedness company in America, serving millions of families like yours. Pick up a 3-month food kit that stays fresh for up to 25 years in proper storage. The meals in the kit provide over 2,000 delicious calories a day. That's important when you need to survive. Order from MyPatriotSupply.com and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait for permission or more empty store shelves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Michael Medved Show, talking about two cases that are being claimed to be First Amendment cases. Alex Jones, who was found guilty today for the second time, actually, of defamation. And defamation means that you are telling lies that you know to be lies, that any reasonable person would hold to be lies, and you're doing it with malice aforethought. And in the case of the Alex Jones case, he was being sued because he profited from it. He has a large following of people who follow him on the internet, who buy various products that he sells, for telling stories like the idea that the small children at Newtown, Connecticut, Sandy Hook Elementary School, who died along with six adults, there are 20 children, who died in 2012 in a mass shooting. And the idea that this is a hoax, that the children are actually alive, that somehow these are people who were so fanatical about trying to confiscate guns that they would be willing to basically ruin their own children's lives by forcing them to pretend to be dead. The entire thing was ridiculous beyond belief. And now Alex Jones says in a statement today, nothing less than the fundamental right to speak freely is at stake in these cases, the statement read. It is not overstatement to say the First Amendment was crucified today. Really? Crucified? Alex Jones is Christ-like, is he? As they point out in The Hill, the Connecticut ruling follows a similar decision from a Texas judge in September, which found Jones responsible in two lawsuits for damages resulting from his claims about the shooting. Alex Jones and his companies, as the court noted, this is a statement from the law firm that represents the Sandy Hook families. As the court noted, Alex Jones and his companies have deliberately concealed evidence of the relationship between what they publish and how they make money, the lawyer said. Mr. Jones was given every opportunity to comply, but when he chose instead to withhold evidence for more than 2 years, the court was left with no choice but to rule as it did today. While today's ruling is a legal victory, the battle to shed light on how deeply Mr. Jones has harmed these families continues. And some of the harm, of course, includes death threats and basically loss of reputation, every imaginable sort of damage. Imagine if you have lost your six-year-old who's been shot by a maniac. And now, beginning even with the funerals, there were charges that the children weren't really killed and that you were part of some kind of malicious conspiracy. The cases in both states, both Texas, which is where Mr. Jones is based, and in Connecticut, where the crime took place, the original crime of the Newtown mass shooting, in both states, the cases will now head to juries, which will decide how much Jones should have to pay to the families of the victims in the damages and their legal fees. It could be a very large settlement. And there's this. I don't really understand it. I have been a great supporter of, and I have spoken for, and I'm proud to be a supporter of, Christians United for Israel, CUFI, which is a great organization that has been established by Pastor John Hagee of Cornerstone Baptist Church in San Antonio, Texas. And I believe that Pastor Hagee is a sincere and idealistic Christian leader. And there was quite a bit of controversy surrounding his operation that occurred over the weekend. A crowd at a church in Texas hosting a QAnon-linked event erupted in a "Let's Go Brandon" chant that had been encouraged from the stage. The video has emerged showing the crowd at the pastor and televangelist John Hagee's church, and it sounded like this, actually. A Okay. First of all, I think people know that by this point, the Let's Go Brandon derives from a catchphrase. It's from NBC Sports originally, because a reporter named Kelly Stavast claimed on air that a section of the crowd at the Talladega Super Speedway in Alabama was chanting, "Let's go, Brandon," in support of NASCAR driver Brandon Brown following his victory, instead of using that phrase as a stand-in, because "Let's go, Brandon" sort of sounds like "F you, Biden," or "F you, Joe Biden." There was some question about using this inside the church, and there's more. The from November 11th to 13th, the Cornerstone Church, that's Hagee's church, held the controversial Reawaken America conference, and in which Trump allies and other conservative figures, this all reported by Newsweek, pushed COVID-19 vaccine skepticism, okay, and conspiracy theories about the 2020 election. On November 13th, Trump's former national security advisor, who is a very outspoken member and spokesperson for QAnon, General Michael Flynn, retired military general, called for the U.S. to have only one religion while speaking at this Christian event. Here is what that sounded like. Here is General Flynn.
So, and they're talking about the United States of America. Talking about the United States of America, because when Matthew mentioned it in the Bible, he wasn't talking about the physical ground that he was on. He was talking about something in the distance. So if we are going to have one nation under God, which we must, we have to have one religion, one nation under God and one religion under God, right? All of us together, working together.
And now, again, I don't know, Jeremy, do you know, has he given some explanation of what he had in mind yet? Because to say you have one religion, I mean, I think one of the reasons that America is a more religious country than so many of the countries in Europe that have basically only one religion, and then a lot of non-believers. America has always had a fairly robust competition in terms of religious faith. Quakers were not the same as other Protestants. The Catholics who helped found Maryland weren't the same. And the idea that we are to have one religion here, this is the worst possible look for conservatives. The idea that you want one only religion. We will get to that and more. We'll be speaking about a new college, open-minded, coming up.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
New federal data says the United States is dealing with a spike in coronavirus cases. The daily case average now at 78,500. That's a 23% jump in the last 2.5 weeks. Among the states dealing with a spike of 10% or greater over the last 2 weeks include cold weather places like Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, and Michigan, but even some warm weather states are seeing a spike, such as Arizona and Arkansas. Closing arguments are taking place in the Kyle Rittenhouse trial. The 18-year-old claims he killed two rioters and looters and injured another in self-defense last year during the riots in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Jurors will get the case after closing arguments. The judge is allowing lesser charges to be considered in one of the three shootings, and he dismissed a lesser weapons charge against Rittenhouse. This is USA Radio News.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Extend your life.
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Michael Medved show, the election that just gave so much light and fire and concern to questions about education and the future of education was primarily about public schools and high schools and even middle schools in Virginia. But there's a bigger issue with education that people know about, which has to do with the political correctness, the cancel culture, the basically critical race theory and more at our colleges and universities. And one of America's leading academics, Neil Ferguson, Dr. Neil Ferguson, who is the Milbank Family Senior Fellow at the Hoover Institution at Stanford, and is also a fellow at Harvard, as a prodigious author. We've had him on the show, I'm proud to say, for his prior books. He is now part of a brand new project which has generated tremendous amount of excitement. And first of all, congratulations on this undertaking. When did the planning for the new University of Austin begin?
Well, it doesn't sound like academic warp speed, because we first began discussing this in late May of this year. So we have moved very swiftly by academic standards to announce the creation of the University of Austin as a new private university, goal of which is very simple. We want to pursue truth, and we want to prioritize academic freedom as the means to that end. We sense that all over America, and some of the greatest institutions as well, and as well as in the more modest ones, there is a crisis of academic freedom. And we felt that we could no longer wait for this problem to be addressed by the established institutions reforming themselves. Maybe the best way to encourage them to reform themselves would be to create a new institution that could really compete and show, model, if you like, the benefits of true academic freedom.
Now, you currently have extraordinarily prestigious positions at both Harvard and Stanford, which are, of course, among the most prestigious and well-established universities in the world. And would you, when the University of Austin is up and running as a private institution alternative, would it be your intention to relocate to Texas?
Well, I see myself as a founder. My commitment as I enter what's, let's face it, the closing quarter of my career most likely, is institution building for the next generation. I'm not so concerned about what I do. I'm more concerned about what I would be doing if I were 18 or 19 and looking for a college, or if I were a very young academic looking for a job. And I just sense that the world has become a very hostile environment for the kind of person I was when I was 18 or when I was 25. So we'll see how things develop. At the moment, I'm a founder. I'm trying my best to help with the design, to get the best advice on how we go about doing this, to attract the best people to support this endeavor, and, of course, to raise the money, without which it's simply not going to be possible. So let's focus on that. Let's build it first and then decide who's going to be teaching History 10.
Right, sure. When you talk about raising the money, I have heard reports, and I don't know to what extent you can publicly comment on this, that an extraordinary amount of money has been raised so far already. Would you say that that is correct?
It's certainly the case that we had an overwhelmingly enthusiastic response. Remember, we announced just a week ago that we were doing this, and in the space of that first week, we had 688 individuals offering or donating, and that was on top of our initial seed funding, if you like. There's, in other words, a pretty strong wave of enthusiasm for what we're doing, and I would say you ain't seen nothing yet, because that was just week one.
Why Austin?
Well, Austin is a fascinating place in the sense that it's become a magnet for tech talent, particularly since so many people became disillusioned with California. I'm talking here about one of our founders, the venture capitalist Joe Lonsdale, but of course you'll also be well aware that Elon Musk recently relocated and is building in Texas. So there's definitely a shift of tech energy in that direction. And we're keen for this venture to tap into that. We don't want to build an old-fashioned university. We want to build one that combines ancient wisdom, the classics, on one side with cutting-edge modern technology on the other side. So that's one reason. I think the other reason is that you wouldn't really need another university in New England, would you? And California is kind of crowded. But if you look at Austin, there's the public university, University of Texas at Austin, and there's nothing really to compete with that. And our view is that the best thing we can do is to increase the level of competition in American education by creating an institution that's really quite different from the rest, different in particular, because there'll be no cancel culture, there'll be no disinvitations, there'll be no platformings, there won't be professors who are suddenly told they're suspended despite their tenure because they said something that gave offense. If we create a culture where academic freedom is real, and where people can speak freely without fear of being denounced on social media or informed on to the dean, then I think we'll be doing a really valuable service to American higher education in general. Hopefully we'll persuade others to follow our example.
Well, there's no question about it. So I would assume that a future president of the university, or even the current president, who was with St. John's before, that he would not be forced to apologize if he had somehow endorsed the sentiment, "All lives matter."
Let me avoid getting into specifics, because I think that is always treacherous terrain. Yeah. I think the first and most important thing to say is that we are going to be about speaking civilly and freely. That is the crucial thing. We need to have a culture in which you can debate and you can say what might be considered offensive without people immediately taking offense, whatever the issue is. And I think that one of the great problems that has become more and more apparent, especially in the last 5 years, is that people feel silenced. The students daren't speak their minds. In a recent survey by Heterodox Academy, more than 60% of undergraduates said that they didn't speak freely, they didn't speak their minds in class for fear of being disciplined or of being cancelled. And that's just the culture we want to get away from. So I think the president, Panagiotis, who's a great man, a great scholar of Shakespeare, and also an extraordinarily experienced academic administrator, can look forward to a time in Austin in which apologies will not really be part of what he has to do.
And there are so many glittering names, I mean, outstanding names, people with worldwide reputations. Is there one of your participants, your cohorts in this, particularly surprise you with his or her willingness to join this effort?
Well, we've created, I think, a really eclectic and intellectually diverse board of advisors, and we're not expecting them to have a common view on all issues. On the contrary, what we're really keen to do is to have varied opinions, conflicting opinions, different perspectives. And so if you look at the people who are advising us, it's really quite an extraordinarily diverse group. Not all of them are academics. For example, we have the journalist Andrew Sullivan, the playwright David Mamet. We have some in amongst our founders, an extraordinarily influential journalist in Barry Weiss. But we've also got Glenn Lowry, extraordinarily impressive economist. And, of course, we have my wife, Ayaan Hirsi Ali.
Yes, and Steven Pinker. I mean, it's an all-star lineup, and I wish you luck with it. Find information about the University of Austin at our website.
The pain was very bad, and since I've taken Relief Factor, I've been able to walk normally again, and I was having a hard time walking, and the pain was very bad. And since I've taken Relief Factor, I've been able to walk normally again, and the pain has gone away. I really am walking pain-free. So I just want to recommend this to anyone who has severe pain or any type of pain. It is really a miracle product.
Try Relief Factor. It has worked wonderfully for literally hundreds of thousands, and certainly for me. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, and order your own quick start. Nothing to lose but your pain. The whole world to gain. MichaelMedved.com. Click on the banner for Relief Factor or call 833-654-PAIN. Relief Factor. Don't you get tired of commercials screaming at you to buy gold right now with inflated promises on future values? In an unregulated industry, you need honest, real experts to give you solid advice to protect your wealth and give you top picks, too, on the best coins and bullion based on real-time data and historical trends. For example, as environmental policy becomes a hot topic, one precious metal that's been significantly undervalued for years is potentially set to surge. Nick Rovich, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, has long recommended this precious metal. Up to 600,000 ounces of this rare metal will be needed by 2030 to produce green hydrogen. Nick is doubling down on this pick, and you should, too. Call Nick to find out more. Now, I've been friends with Nick for several years, and he's my go-to guy when it comes to coins and bullion. I trust him. You can, too. Call Nick at 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
It may feel like age is just a number, but the fact is, even if you're healthy and active, your immune system weakens as you get older. And if you're 65 or older, you're at an increased risk for potentially serious illnesses like pneumococcal pneumonia. One way to help protect yourself is to get immunized against vaccine-preventable diseases like pneumococcal pneumonia. Dr. Jorge Gomez shares more on behalf of the American Lung Association.
Pneumococcal pneumonia is a potentially serious bacterial lung disease that can disrupt your life for weeks. Adults 65 or older are over 10 times more likely to be hospitalized with pneumococcal pneumonia than adults 18 to 49. You may also be at increased risk if you have certain chronic health conditions such as asthma, diabetes, or heart disease. If you're 65 or older, vaccination can help prevent pneumococcal pneumonia.
This flu season, visit lung.org/pneumococcal and talk to your doctor or pharmacist about pneumococcal vaccination.
And on the Michael Medved show, look, it's incredibly impressive that they have put this group together, that they have raised as much money as they reputedly have. They may, with commitments, have hundreds of millions of dollars, literally, already for this new University of Austin. And it's going to be UATX, University of Austin, Texas. The one thing, Megan McArdle, and it might be good to speak to her about it, she wrote about what I think is going to be one of the special challenges that Neil Ferguson and Ayaan Hirsi Ali and all the wonderful people, and Glenn Lowry is there. I assume that they will appeal to John McWhorter, who we will soon have on the show. And the difficulty is that to actually get people to devote themselves to this institution and building this institution means leaving places like the Hoover Institution. It means leaving other colleges and universities. And one of the problems that I would see for this effort would be if you end up attracting all of the conservative stars, like the late Donald Kagan at Yale, who was a political scientist, very much on the right, brilliant. He died recently, so he'll be kind of tough to bring over there. Or Robbie George, Robert George at Princeton, has been tremendously influential and is very much a religious, devoutly Catholic conservative. And then you have other centers like Grove City College, which is just wonderful, with our own Paul Kengor, who's on our show so frequently, and Hillsdale College, where Jeremy Steiner, pride of Hillsdale College, was student body president. Our intrepid assistant, Carmen Frisvold, is a Hillsdale graduate. That I mentioned these other places because you may actually be diminishing the accessibility of alternative ideas, of conservative ideas, religious ideas, particularly for some of those religious schools. Regents University, which has been built up by the Robertson family. Liberty University, which is huge. I think they have over 100,000 students enrolled, including people who are enrolled online, but it's one of the largest universities in the world in terms of enrollment. And the difficulty is that if you take every academic star from every other place, including institutions where sometimes those academic stars are badly outnumbered, you're still concentrating everyone in one given location. Austin may not be for everyone who wants some conservative alternatives or maybe more religious alternatives. But this is a very exciting development, and it is one that I think that all those who don't want some kind of academic leftist tyranny to dominate the American system of higher education, I think everyone who does believe in some alternatives for American education would want to back this effort as enthusiastically as possible. One of the challenges they will have, and this is a point that Megan McArdle makes in her piece, is that virtually all of the highest, most richly endowed, and most prestigious, and considered to be the most desirable undergraduate universities in the country are old. Many of them, most of the leading undergraduate institutions, Yale, Harvard, Princeton, University of Pennsylvania, Columbia. Alexander Hamilton went to Columbia. He went to King's College, as it was called then. And James Madison went to Princeton. John Adams went to Harvard. Nathan Hale went to Yale. Jonathan Edwards went to... You're talking about very, very few top prestige academic powerhouse colleges or universities that were started after 1900. You could say that Stanford even was started before 1900, but I think that just before, and comes closest to being a obviously very prestigious university. And the question here is, it would take adventurous spirits, both in terms of potential students and potential parents paying for it or facilitating it, to raise the money, make the financing possible, because college and university is so enormously important. Perhaps they can make a generous scholarship aid available for the students that they want in order to build this new university. There's a great deal going on here, and it will be fascinating to keep in touch with it. I wanted to go back to a moment to the to this unfortunate idea that that America should be not just one nation under God, but one nation under God, under one religious faith, which is what General Flynn had to say. General Flynn, again, somebody else who was pardoned, like Steve Bannon we were talking about before, pardoned by President Trump during the last months of his presidency. He said, if we are going to have one nation under God, which we must, we have to have one religion. One nation under God and one religion under God. Now, does he mean that there would be one religion that would be exclusive for the United States? That we would lose the great religious diversity? And this is an area where America's always been diverse. One of the reasons that America grew up not as one single nation, but with different colonies, which became different states, is because those different states had different dominant religions. There was a serious difference between, the Quakers in Pennsylvania and the Congregationalists, the Puritans in New England, and the Anglicans, the Episcopalians, Church of England people in most of the southern colonies, and then the hills of the southern colonies, they had Presbyterians. And there were serious religious differences there. Still are, to some extent. And surely that doesn't even include the fact that there are Jewish members, the Daughters of the American Revolution. I don't believe there are any Muslim members, but we have several million Muslims in the United States today. predominantly good citizens. We have Hindus, Buddhists, really? One religion? And it's the problem with a statement like that by someone who is very much a prominent part of the Stop the Steal movement and has been so close to President Trump is that it reinforces the worst stereotypes about religious conservatives. Because I don't believe that you'll find other prominent religious conservatives who believe that we should have one religion, one true faith. And who exactly is his prophet? I know. But it does seem to be a political and a politicization of religious faith, which is disastrous. And speaking of disastrous, there's a candidate for Senate in Ohio. He's one of seven or eight Republican candidates for Senate. The leading candidate is Josh Mandel, who I know. He's the former state treasurer. He's running as a very enthusiastically pro-Trump candidate, but he was just attacked in a surprising way. A candidate for the U.S. Senate in Ohio ran an ad calling out his opponent Josh Mandel's Jewishness and defended the spot as a candidate for him Thursday night of last week. Mark Pukita, an entrepreneur who is one of several candidates vying for the Republican nomination in a crowded primary to replace sitting retiring Republican Rob Portman, released the radio ad in October. It highlights Mandel's courting of evangelical voters by touting Christian values. Are we seriously supposed to believe the most Christian value Senate candidate is Jewish? I am so sick of these phony caricatures, a race says in the ad. Josh Mandel has answered back, but honestly, can you believe it? It's, again, a really questionable look for the Republican Party if a candidate is attacked because of his religious faith. That seems to me not worthy of this greatest nation on God's green earth.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
901-424-5280. 901-424-5280. That's 901-424-5280.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.